This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so thankful to be here today and share this hour with you. I really am thankful. I'm thankful for so many things. And I just want to ask you a question. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for being able to breathe? Are you thankful that you're able to do what you're able to do? Are you thankful for what the Lord has provided for you? If not, it's a great way to just take an inventory of what you're thankful for. And when you do this, it can change your attitude. And you know what? When you do this, you can go from a frown to a smile and just realize that there are people out there that have it worse than you. And sometimes we think our life is just so, so bad. We think that we just don't know how we're going to get through another moment, another day. Is that you? The Lord is there for you, and all you need to do is reach up to Him. That's all you need to do. That's all He says is just ask and you shall receive. And sometimes I know in my life I haven't felt His presence. I'm like, I need a hug. I need a real hug. Lord, where are you? And I get that. But you know, the Lord uses people. He uses people and He sends people to do what He needs done. And you just need to be open to receive what He has for you. And that's my message for today. I have a guest with me today. And, you know, I've known this man for quite a while now. And he's going through some things, and I am thinking that by him sharing what's going on with him now, what, you know, some of the things and circumstances that, you know, the Lord has brought him through, that maybe it can give you a little encouragement. Maybe the education or the information that you receive can actually be used right now if you're in a certain situation. So the person that I have with me today, his name is Joe, a.k.a. not your average Joe, ha-ha. I'm just going to give you a little background. Has had the pleasure of walking the Christian walk for the better part of 37 years. But it has not been without its share of struggles. Through it all, Joe has learned to trust God, to provide when he didn't know what God was doing or how he was being directed. Through these life experiences, Joe has realized that the journey is the destination. The journey is the destination. Isn't that what I've been saying for so long? We think that it's the end all, be all, and it's not. It's a journey. Our life is a journey. And that's what Joe's saying. Joe's passions and hobbies have taken him to 4-team world UCWDC championships, which he'll explain what that is, championship titles in country western dance, and is known for his singing at different dance conventions. I've heard him. Wait till you, I think he might give us a sample. I'm not sure. He is the originator of the relationship series, Relationships On and Off the Dance Floor. I love that. The parallels of what we learn are incredible. He has had a very successful career in the computer field and has worked for the past 5 years for a Fortune 50 company. He serves as an elder on the board of Orange County Singles for Christ in Costa Mesa, certified to teach dance under GPDIA, and is a graduate of AMTC Shine Winter 2015. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited about being here.
I'm very excited about having you here because I had asked you when we had talked on the phone because I said, okay, where are we going to go with the show and what are we going to talk about and how are you doing anyway? And I want to start out, Joe, just by asking you to explain kind of what's been going on just recently with you. What's happened right now in Joe's life?
Well, it was very interesting because October they discovered a lump under my right arm and I didn't think anything of it. But it what turned out to be metastatic melanoma, stage 4. And we had to start pursuing what does that mean and what do I do about this? And so from November 2nd to the present, I've been pursuing different cancer treatments. And my biggest concern was trying to go down the toxicity route. One of the things that people kept saying is, you know, the medical community has these different drugs that you can take and they're insured and you'll be able to get all the coverage that you need to, just trust. And in the light of that, I kept hearing other people saying, no, 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 you need to go the alternative route, because if you go the alternative route, it doesn't have the toxicity, it doesn't have the huge negative impacts to your body, and your body is able to metabolize it better and help you, you know, get better sooner. So I learned about a program through Truth About Cancer. Yes, the Truth About Cancer series by Ty Bollinger. And through there, I learned about various alternative treatments. Specifically, I learned about one called RIGVR, which was designed to treat melanoma cancer. And the research behind it had been going on for like 40 years. And it is the standard treatment protocol in the country of Latvia. And I, you know, with all the research and everything that went behind it, decided this is the treatment for me. So I went ahead and signed up and said, okay, let's start this program. So the surgery I had to remove the tumors, they removed 28 lymph nodes out of my shoulder, plus one in my lower posterior region. Got to always clue that plus one.
Yes.
And it turned out that 14 of those lymph nodes were metastatic melanoma. The largest one was about the size of an egg. And so that was done on November 19th. And then by January 5th, I was flying to overseas to get treatment. And on January 5th was the very first dose of RIGVR. And we started on that protocol for the next 3 months, receiving a dose once a week. But the most recent development was on March 23rd, it turned out that the cancer had continued to spread, and we were expecting to see clean scans. But in this case, we are now tracking about 12 different tumors throughout my body.
The emotion, you know, it's like you were saying that, you know, you were just doing an evaluation or an analyzation of your life, and you're saying, wow, my life is so great. Right before this information, you're going, wow, I have everything. I'm so happy right now, and life is so good. And then all of a sudden, you go and you find this thing out that you didn't even know anything about, and these things are like attacking your body and you don't realize it, and then the discovery of finding that you've got this thing, and your time is of the essence. You have to do all this research and get educated, and it's life-threatening. This is a life or death situation.
Absolutely.
That's just, to me, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and you're on a time schedule. You've got to learn this stuff quick. You almost have to become a doctor.
Well, the funny thing about that is, you know, I'm an engineer. And as an engineer, I like to study, I like to research, I like to find out information. And so I kept getting information from all kinds of different sources about different options, protocols, and what have you. And, you know, I've had friends that were being treated for the toxic standard way that the Western community does. And then I have other friends that have been telling me about the non-toxic routes and saying, I should try these. And so, I mean, not every other day, but I would often get suggestions. Well, try this, try this, try this, try this. Some of the things just simply didn't make any sense, let alone whether or not they actually worked. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I had approximately four different doctors that I was working through to try to figure out what would be the right treatment for me, and basically trying to take the best of each of those different doctors, whether it was from the alternative aspect, the holistic aspect, whether it was a Western medicine aspect, or just a melanoma specialist, where that's all that they specialize in melanoma. The problem is none of these four doctors talk to each other. And I was always left in the middle to try to figure out what's the best thing. And so I have a dear friend of mine who is in the medical profession, and she helped me navigate these waters and figure out what was the best alternative for me. And so we started recently down that protocol.
And it's different than what you were doing before.
It's extremely different. What had happened, and I was scheduled on April 13th, I was going to have my first dose of Keytruda, because I thought, okay, we need to pull the big guns out. You know, right. I can't let this cancer continue to spread.
Stop it.
You got to stop it. So as a result, I was ready to go. 24 hours before I was scheduled to take that needle and receive my first dose, I get a phone call and they said, hey, have you talked to so-and-so? I go, about what? They go, about this special cancer treatment by this doctor named Dr. Nizami. And he has a protocol called MTET. And I'm like, oh boy, not something new. But I've said, you know, it's worth a phone call. So I made a phone call, talked with him later that afternoon. And he just explained to me, he said, you know, my approach to dealing with cancer treatment is completely different than any of the other doctors out there. He says, my focus is that we need to focus on the cancer stem cells, not focus on the tumor itself. He says, what happens is most people, they get focused on the tumor, and when the tumor gets reduced in size, they think they're out of the clear. But the problem is the cancer stem cells still reside in the bone marrow, and as a result, if they're still there, they can reproduce more cancer. The other thing he said is he says that when you attack those tumors, you're attacking the daughter. The parent says, what are you doing being up on my kid? And it produces stronger and more potent cancer cells. So now what's happening is the immune system is getting boosted, and it's getting stronger to fight the cancer, but now the cancer is getting stronger to fight the immune system. And so Dr. Nizami pointed those things out to me, and he said, we've got to approach this completely different.
And there comes a point in time when you're not a doctor and you gather as much information as you can and then trust.
Absolutely.
There has to be just this trust, this leap of faith that the Lord has you. And it sounds as though there was some appointments that the Lord provided.
Yeah, I sat across from the doctor's office at his desk and I said, listen, I'm putting my hands.
Literally. Your whole body, your life.
I'm putting my life in your hands.
That's right. That's right. And that's a scary thing for any of us to do. So listen, if you think your life is, you know, kind of tough right now, you know, you could evaluate this and say, wow, what would you do in this situation? How would you cope? I know if this was happening to me, I would, after talking to you, Joe, I would go down the same path as you are. I would go down that path. You're listening to The Sue Freeh Show on our flagship station, KKLA. And thank you, San Diegans, for joining in on this show today. And it's not a happy, happy, happy show, but it's an educational show. And it's a show that no matter where you are in life, you know, this information is so key. And there are life lessons that we learn, even if you're not going through the same exact things that are being talked about. The lessons that we learn are for all of us. They're universal lessons and they're God lessons. And this is a journey we're living and walking in. And so it's important that we can understand that, you know, no matter where we are in life, life goes on. And we just have to do what we have to do in order to make it the best life we can for those that we're in contact with and for us ourselves. It's important that we take care of ourselves. Joe has learned a lot in this time here. Say your last name. I don't want to massacre it. Van Reichenham. No.
It's like the hem of a garment. Van Reichenham.
Reichenham.
There you go.
I got it. Yes. And Joe, we've been friends for how long?
I think it's been about 17, 18 years.
Right. We met in the dance world.
Right, in the UCWDC dance world.
Yes.
Where we were having so much fun just showing up and spending, you know, weekends at a time just dancing till all hours of the night.
Right. And it's wonderful, isn't it? It's a passion.
Oh, without
Dancing's
a doubt.
Dancing's a passion, and it's very healing, and it's community, and it's social, and there's been studies done that say that you'll live longer and you'll be healthier if you dance. So I think everybody should dance. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. There's another study I remember hearing that 68% of the people that are getting older in their age are able to improve on their cognitive ability if they dance.
Right. Their left and their right and their brain. It's all firing. Yes.
Absolutely.
So, Joe, when did you come to know the Lord and how would you characterize your walk?
Well, I came to the Lord when I was about 13 years of age. And it was interesting because I didn't know anything about this church stuff. I mean, we went to Sunday school, but that was about it. And I showed up, and I remember walking the aisle for the first time and coming forward and receiving Christ as my Savior. But it was interesting because there wasn't any intimidation. There wasn't any inhibition. I mean, it was just like, thrown myself in there. So, I mean, I was at the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and then Thursday night for whatever. And then on probably like the two Saturdays after that, I started going out and telling people about the Lord. I could barely pronounce the name of the church. I was stumbling over Gethsemane. It was Gethsemane. You know, and then later that same summer, I had my opportunity to lead the first person to Christ. And I still remember that like that was yesterday.
Yes. My angels rejoiced.
It was exciting.
Absolutely. It so is. So, you know, you didn't mention that you were pursuing ministry, or at least you thought you were, or something.
Yeah, what happened is right about 14 years of age, I was at a church camp up in the local mountains, and I had been doing some talking, you know, and preaching little things here and there, whatever, but I really felt the Lord's call in my life to go into Christian ministry as a preacher. So from the age of 14 to like about the age 22, 23, that was my only pursuit in life. In school, we had a Bible club, and it was called Word of Life Bibles Club. And then there was another club opposite of mine called New Life. And this kind of is a characteristic. It kind of sets an understanding of where my walk was. And people say, well, when we want to know God's word, we'll come to your club. But when we want to feel loved, we'll go to the other club.
So
what happened is I started to find that I was growing up in this Bible bubble where I understood the gospel, I understood the doctrines, I could teach the theology, I could argue with the cults, but I lacked the human essence of love. And that continued to work its way into my interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
Till I eventually came to a point where a friend of mine who had gone to Bible college and was very well versed in the scriptures and was, you know, serving the Lord says, you know, Joe, I love the Bible just as much as the next person does, but can you give it a rest? And I realized, and I was right on the precipice there of, as I was in Bible college, I was on the precipice of moving into a career of being a pastor. And I just felt at that time was like, I'm not ready for this.
Right, right. So how did the Lord bless you in spite of not going into ministry?
You know, what was interesting is he started opening my eyes up to things that previously were just, I didn't either have time for it or it was one of those taboos. I.e. dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing was one of those things in my Christian upbringing, which was, you don't dance. That's a heathen thing. That's a worldly thing. We don't dance. And I remember showing up to my very first dance lesson. A friend of mine invited me, and it was just kind of out of a fluke. And so I showed up there, and it was East Coast Swing. I had about as much coordination as Herman Munster. And so,
funny.
it was just so rigid, and you know, it's just like don't. I mean, just it was not working. So, but I was having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I was meeting new people, and so I showed up for the next week, took the next class, and then I decided, well, if I'm going to get better at this, I better practice during the week.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lesson there, isn't there?
There is.
Uh-huh. What's the lesson?
The lesson is not that practice makes perfect; it's that perfect practice makes perfect.
And I say practice makes better because I don't believe we ever get perfect. There's always room for improvement.
Yes, I know, right? But we strive for
perfection. We strive for the excellence. Yes, we do. We do. Yes. And then time on the floor, right? No matter what you're going to do, you have to spend time doing it. And, you know, there's rewards in that. There's sacrifice, but there's rewards. And the pain has to be worth the gain. Somebody has to want it, right?
It's got to be a passion of yours.
Yes.
And the thing is, you know, when it becomes a passion, it's not work.
Right. So our relationship with the Lord, some people say, oh, I didn't pray today, and oh, I didn't read scripture today. And you know what? He wants us to draw nearer to him, and how do you do that? You got to learn who he is, right? I mean, that's what that's about.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, being in a constant attitude of prayer.
Right.
You know, and so it's not just a matter of, okay, I have this time carved out in the morning, and that's my prayer time. You know, throughout the course of the day, the Lord might bring somebody in my life, and I feel that, you were talking about it last week, about this pumping in your chest, and it's mm-hmm. like, you know, I think I need to go talk to this person and maybe pray with them. And I had one of those experiences this past week, which was just awesome.
Yes. You reference Philippians 1:6.
Yes, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And the thing about it is, from that, I come to that understanding that regardless of what it is that I'm going through, regardless of what it is, whether it's good or bad or whatever, God is in it. And because he's in it, he is directing me. Now, I may not know what the outcome is, and I don't need to know the outcome. I just need to trust him that all I need to do is keep taking the next step, and he'll light the path for me to take the next step and so forth and so on.
Another life lesson right there. Did you get it? Did you catch it? It's so good. It's so good. So how did your passions and pursuits change?
Well, my passions and pursuits started to change when I just started realizing that I needed to focus a little bit more on my walk. You know, because what happened was is I was doing a lot of things with singing and dancing and just having a lot of fun. But I was lacking the ministry portion, which is what my heart was originally tugged towards back in my early teens. And it really came about when a friend of mine said to me, after having been able to win 4 world championships in UCWC teams, I have a really cool picture here that I can show you. But she came back and she said, so when will you say you have enough awards? And I go, well, what do you mean? She says, well, what are you doing for God? I go, well, what do you mean what I'm doing for God? You know, I was gone on the weekends at going all these dance conventions and stuff. And so there started to burn inside of me that desire to want to get back into service. And what happened was he started to take my passion for dance. And then by that time, I had started learning to teach dance and my passion for relationships and begin to bring those together. And I started teaching different couples and explaining to them the dynamics and the parallels between relationships off the dance floor and relationships on the dance floor.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and
Joe Van Reichenham
right after this brief break.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services. Listen, if you need any pest control or if you don't know if you have a termite problem, you need to call us at 877-332-2847, which spells bugs. Call us today and just let us check it out. It's free, you know, peace of mind. We are the least hassle that you can have when it comes to pest control. So just give us a call and let us take care of you, okay? Because that's what we're here for. And Learning to Breathe, I just got back from London. They chose my book. I had favor over there, and it's being translated in many different languages, and it's going to be an audio book and an e-book, and this is a whole new world I know nothing about. But a previous show, I talked all about my trip and how exciting it was and how I was humbled beyond humbled because this was a world I knew nothing about. So I just want to say to all you mothers out there, happy, happy Mother's Day. You work so hard and you do so much. Never, never think that you're not contributing because you are. You have a very special position. So happy, happy Mother's Day. Right before the break, Joe, we were talking about relationships on and off the dance floor. And I had to cut you off because we had to go to break, but here we are again. So let's just continue where we left off.
Sure. Well, obviously, with you being a dancer,
yes,
you understand the parallels between what a relationship looks like on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody that watches any of the different shows out there, they look and they marvel at the magic of seeing how these two people waltz or whatever it is across the dance floor, and they mm-hmm. look like they're just one unit.
Mm-hmm. In sync.
You know, and
connected.
you look at that and you say, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and you get caught up in that moment and that, and you're just like, wow, that's just great. You know, what's funny is a girl one time when I was teaching dance class comes to me and says, as I'm telling her about the dynamics of what make dance partnership work, she goes, why does that only work on the dance floor? Why can't that work in real life?
Really?
And I said, and I stopped and I said, I go, you know, you've got a good point there.
Right.
And so I started noodling it, you know, and being the engineer that I am, I decided, well, let's just analyze dance. And so I broke it down to seven different components of what make dance partnership work.
I have to write this down. Okay, I'm ready.
Well, I'm not going to give you all of them because I'll give you some of them, though.
Okay.
You know, and so the first one is the most obvious. You got to pick a partner. If you want to do partner dancing, you got to pick a partner. And when you pick your partner, it's got to be intentional.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, for instance, if I go on up to a dance floor, or if I go up to you and ask you, would you like to dance? I mean, I need to really have an intent to want to take you out to the dance floor and dance with you, as well as I also need to know what the dance is that we're doing, you know, because the next point of it is that we need to agree to the beat. We need to be on the same page. And you and I both know that you can do this, is that you could hear the song and you could say, I could dance a cha-cha to that. And I could hear that same song and say, well, I can dance a West Coast swing to that. So in our minds, we're equally yoked to the music. But in partnership, we're not equally matched.
Because we're dancing to two different
styles.
Yeah.
The beat's the same in our head.
Uh-huh.
So what I always like to say is that it's more important not just to be equally yoked, but also equally matched.
Right. That's kind of difficult sometimes.
Well, it is.
There's many people listening right now that are saying, well, I don't have that one down.
You know, but it's so important. And what it kind of comes back to is a phrase and a philosophy that says, as a single person, my job is to be the best student of myself. And in a relationship, my job is to be the best student of my partner.
Oh, did you hear that? That's good. That's really good. You know, a long time ago, I taught a Bible study on marriage a long time ago, and I was thinking to myself, how can I explain love? You know, what does love look like? And what I came up with, it's when you put the other person before yourself, which is you're saying you want to study and you want to know, you want to learn and be intimate, you want to know that other person. And you want to put that other person first.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and the important thing is you know, it's knowing what kind of flowers you like. It's knowing what is your favorite perfume. It's knowing
how you like
your
coffee.
There you go. And how you like your eggs.
Oh, my gosh. That's so true.
You know?
It's so true.
Exactly.
I love that. Wow. We were connected right there.
There you go.
That was a connection.
We should have a dance at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's a lot more I can share, but I'm going to leave that for another time.
Right, because we will run out of time on why we're here today. So we'll have to come back and do that another time. So, but I do have to ask you, you know, I asked you before, gosh, Joe, have you ever been married? You know, and you said, well, you know. So what about your desire to be married? What happened there?
Well, the funny thing about that is, you know, I've been pursuing relationships since my early 20s. I've had one relationship that ended up in getting engaged, and that engagement lasted for a month because we were equally yoked but not equally matched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I've had a couple of other relationships that have lasted 4 years. Another one lasted two and a half years. And it isn't that I've lost the desire, but the thing is I've lost the need to pursue it as though that's the only thing that's going to make me happy.
Right.
And so in the process, I've just learned to live life as God's brought it to me. And then as I'm living life, I'm enjoying life. And I believe that it's important that we have a life before we get into a relationship. Because
right.
the problem is a lot of times we think that that relationship is going to give us a life. And we come to that relationship not as a whole person. And then we're expecting that other person to try to fill us up with something that they can't fill us up with. You know, so it hasn't been that I've lost the desire. I do very much so have a desire to be in a long-term relationship, which I'm currently right now, happy to say, in a wonderful relationship with a wonderful lady that I've known for the last 2 years. But it's I've learned so many lessons through my dating experiences, and those lessons have been leveraged with what I've also learned on the dance floor, and that I'm able to present this material from life experiences as well as from other people's life experiences. And I borrow from that when I teach these relationship workshops.
So you teach workshops, you teach dance, so you have the gift of teaching.
Yes.
Yes.
That,
along with other gifts.
A few others.
Yes. You know, just when you know people on the dance floor and you talk just briefly, like on the sidelines until the next good song comes on, you know, it's one type of relationship. But as we talk and I get to know you even better, you know, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to get to know you on a different level, you know. But the dancing is a great way to meet people. So I encourage anyone listening, if you think you have two left feet, you don't. You have a left and a right. Most people do. But you need to get out there and just give it a shot. You know, just try. And I've seen so many people that say, oh, I can't do that. And now they're dancing around the floor with a big smile on their face and they're happy, happy, happy. And you don't have to be a pro. You don't have to get to that level. But just getting out there and having a good time and meeting new people.
I always say this. Can you snap to the beat?
Right.
If you can snap to the beat, then you can dance to it.
There you
go. You just need to learn.
Yeah. Okay. So next question is, how has God developed your ministry around service?
Well, the exciting thing about that has been a group called Orange County Singles for Christ. I became a part of them back in about 2013, mm-hmm. and they reached out to me. And I just, it was one of the new things that was opening up in Orange County. And since there were so many other single ministries that were just kind of going away. And I showed up because it's like, hey, it's a new thing. Let's check this out. Let's see what this is about. Hey, maybe there's a prospective mate for me over there, you know. And I hung out for a little while. And then I realized this isn't for me. And so I went back to the dance community doing my normal thing. And about 6 months later, I happened to pop in just out of curiosity. And somebody mentioned to me that they were looking for a dance instructor to teach their Friday night dance classes. And I go, okay, what's that entail? And they're like, well, you just show up after and we'll teach dance. And I go, well, I can do that. So I started becoming, you know, more frequent there. And so I started teaching and had a great time doing that. And then somebody, you know, in the different classes, they said, well, you're obviously fairly knowledgeable about the scriptures. Why don't you teach a class or something? And I go, okay, I can do that. And so I started teaching this series, Relationships on and Off the Dance Floor. And then they came up to me and they said, well, you know, we could use somebody like you in leadership. Would you be interested in becoming part of the team? And I said, sure, I can do that. And then the Lord just kept opening up the doors more and more and more, to the point where eventually I just became, you know, a permanent fixture there at Orange County Singles for Christ. And lately I became a member of the board, the elder board. And it's given me opportunity to showcase my talents in singing, but not necessarily as a talent, but as an area to minister. And, you know, my passion, as much as I love dancing, I love singing even more than that. And so it's given me the opportunity to do that and to also help with and give the people some perspectives around just some of the techniques of dancing and singing that they didn't have before. So I've had a great time with it.
I've talked quite often about the parallels and the life lessons of dance versus just life and relationships. And so it's funny. I love what you're saying about relationships on and off the dance floor, because the parallels are so true, like connection and given and taken and submitting and leading and following. And, you know, all of those are relational. They're all relationships. So it's really neat. I like what you came up with. That's like great. And what a great lesson for people. And I think they would be more apt to listen in those circumstances. It would be easy to take on maybe something they need to work with if they were in that situation.
What I like to do is I like to teach the point, the dynamic, and then I like to illustrate it as we're teaching them how to dance.
Right.
So that they get it affirmed in both ways.
Right.
I had one opportunity years ago where I was teaching this at a church with about 40 married couples. And it was just something that somebody had suggested. I'm like, sure, let's do that. And it's 6 weeks. And I came in and I started with people that knew nothing about dance. And I said, you know, I need you to commit to 6 weeks of coming here every Friday night. And I'm going to teach you how to dance. But we're also going to illustrate the different seven different dynamics of what makes dance partnership work and how that parallels to your relationship with your husband and your wife. I got cards after the end of that. One person said, through this experience, I've had greater intimacy with my wife than I had previous to that. And another card came in and they said, through this experience, this is the first time I've learned how to follow my husband, because in my relationship, I'm always doing the leading.
Isn't that fantastic? So listen, if you're out there, you're listening, maybe there's something here for you that you can do. You're listening to the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And there are people up and down the coast listening. And listen, if you know somebody that you would like to share this show with, all you need to do is go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com. Go there, and there are 7 years of podcasts. There are all kinds of videos and helpful tools. You can press on the I Am's and get 3 pages of I Am's. And the I Am's are affirmations for you on who Christ says you are, because people will tell you one thing, but don't you want to listen to what God says? I know I do. So if you want to go there, it is free, and I highly recommend it. You could read those scriptures every day, and it'll change your life. So before the break, Joe, we were talking about how your life and how you're going through all this, and you're learning as much as you can, and you're on a time schedule. The clock is ticking, and you're trying to learn all you can so that you can save your life, basically. And you have to trust those that the Lord has placed in front of you, that they know what they're doing, and you put your life in this one doctor's hands. And you told him that. You said, I have to take this leap of faith. I'm going to trust you and, you know, with my life. So why don't you talk to the people listening about what God's teaching you about trust?
You know, the funny thing about it is when I think of trust, the first verse that comes to mind is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
One of my favorites.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. But, you know, there's another verse that comes to mind to me. James chapter 1 and verse 2, you know, whenever you find yourself in a situation and you're going through some struggle, everybody likes to refer to this passage in James. And, you know, I've had a few people quote it to me, and it's kind of like, you know, isn't that a little bit like, you know, be warm, be filled? But let's think about it as I read it. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And the interesting thing about this is we know the Bible tells us that God's going to bring trials into our life. It's inevitable because we're his kids. He wants us to become more perfected into the image of Christ. Trials are the way that he does that. But then the next verse says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, now think about that. God's taking us through trials. And then he says, but if any of you lack wisdom, what? Wisdom in trials. Wisdom in knowing what it is that I'm supposed to do in this trial that I'm going through. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting, for the one that doubts is like the wind, surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And when I think about that, I think about the experience that I've been going through since really November. And that was a passionate, deep crying out to God, God, I need direction. I need wisdom. I need discernment, you know, because on the one side, the medical community is telling me I need to do these things. But yet when I review what these things could potentially do to me, those things alone could kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear over here the alternative community, and they're saying, well, no, you need to take all these supplements and these vitamins and do all these different coffee enemas and yada, 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 yada. And it's like there's just so much information out there. It's information overload, you know, and it's great to have that. But then the Lord just brought Dr. Nizami into my life,
mm-hmm.
24 hours before I was supposed to take that first dose of Keytruda. And he said, he goes, let me be the doctor here. Trust me. And, in, you know, the prayer that had been is like, Lord, give me direction. Show me what it is that I need to do and how to do that. And then Dr. Nizami came into the picture at that point.
So we have about 5 minutes left. And so I want to hand the mic over to you and just have you talk to the listeners now and just share, you know, what you want to share. So the mic is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Sue. Appreciate it. You know, I've, through different life's experiences, there's always been a go-to song. And it's one of the very first songs I learned back when I was in my early 20s. And I'd really like to share a portion of that song with your audience.
I think we should do that.
Okay.
But what kind of friend offers help on a clear day and leaves at the first sight of rain? Not this kind of friend. He is someone far greater. You can turn to him again and again. He's got all the time in the world, and he knows what temptation can do. So don't worry that he will give up on you. He's got all the time in the world.
I hope this gives you an opportunity just to kind of stop and just silence the madness, the noises, all the things that are going on inside of your head right now, whether you're dealing with cancer, you're dealing with relationship problems, you're dealing with finances, whatever that is that's got your attention and it's taking your attention away from trusting God. This song has been a song that I have sung so many times in my life at different phases. And it's just given me an opportunity to just stop and create space between me and my problems and listen for God. And so right now, if I could, I'd just like to ask you, obviously, if you're driving on your car, you can't do that. But I'd like you to stop and just close your eyes. Whatever it is that you're feeling right now, whatever it is that you're experiencing, maybe you are experiencing cancer like myself. I don't know. But I want to pray for you. I think that's one of the biggest things that this experience has shown me, is about the importance of stopping and listening to what people are saying, and then listening and then praying. You know, the Bible says, casting all our care upon Him because He cares for us. So let me just pray with you for just a few moments. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you right now, thanking you for your faithfulness. God, you have said in your word that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And Lord, you've also said that whatever you give us, you will also give us the strength to deal with. And as is my constant prayer through this experience, is Lord, give me strength to deal with it. Give me the grace to deal with it. And show yourself to be faithful through it all. And Father, for these people that are out here all across this land, I just pray, Father, that whatever it is that they're experiencing in their life, I pray, Father, that they'll take these moments to just stop, create space between their problem and trust you. Whatever it is that you're experiencing right now, I pray that you'll reach out to the Lord. Trust Him, believe Him, take Him at His word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing your heart, for praying for those listening, and for your song. It was all beautiful. And thank you so much for being on the show today. And, you know, there's a lot of expenses that go with fighting this thing called cancer. And so somebody made a site for you to help with that. Can you tell people where to go if they want to help you?
Sure. I'm at GoFundMe/DNCNJoe. That's like dancing without any vowels.
So dancing Joe.
So GoFundMe.com/DNCNJoe. Right now, we had raised $27,000.
Wow.
Towards $45,000 mark.
Wow. That's awesome. So it's the end of the show, and I wish it wasn't, but it is. So I just want to thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
We'll have to come back and learn more about this relationship thing. I think everybody needs help in that department. We never arrive, I don't think, not until we get to heaven. So, you know, we all need help there. So thank you so much, Joe, for being on the show. Thank you for reaching out to me and Facebook and sharing your story and everything. I think it brings hope to many, which is what this show's about. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being able to be here.
So until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day, and God bless you.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS.
Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.